Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. The Georgian anthem in Tbilisi as demonstrators gathered, hoping for an end of the violence. It may happen soon. Georgia's president, Saakashvili, says he accepts the modified ceasefire plan with Russia.
We are dealing with extremely precarious situation right now, with something that was unimaginable here just a few days ago.
Sky News reporter Stuart Ramsey.
I don't think many people expected it to turn into the full-out war that we had here, and Georgia is responsible for that. They did, without doubt, start this, but it's the Russians who have, without doubt, finished it.
The U.S. has threatened to get Russia tossed out of important global clubs, including the Group of Eight economic ministers who set much of the economic policies for the world. American drivers this year are using 800,000 fewer barrels of oil every day. Tom Closa at the Oil Price Information Service.
There was excessive behavior by, you know, soccer moms and folks that thought they needed a huge SUV, even though it'll never see the beach or see the mountains.
Good news is oil continues to come down, $113 and change per barrel today. Gasoline prices are expected to be lower next week than they are today. Wall Street, the Dow lost 140 points almost today. The Nasdaq was down about 9. The news on Midwest floods is much improved. Corn and soybeans are making a big comeback.
It's good news for consumers. Food prices for a while soared after farms in the Midwest suffered damage from the swollen Mississippi and other rivers in June.
Since the floods, Mother Nature's been, if you will, very cooperative.
Chad Hart, economist at Iowa State, this Department of Agriculture report, speaks of nearly ideal weather that let farmers replant. Now on pace to produce the second largest corn crop ever and the fourth largest soybean crop. So prices are already falling. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
The next gold medal Michael Phelps wins at the Beijing Summer Games will make him the most golden Olympic athlete in history.
Coming up next, Phelps has a chance for a double dose of gold. He'll be competing in a pair of events, the 200-meter butterfly. He's the world record holder in that event. Phelps will also be part of the U.S. 4x200-meter relay team. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Olympic Aquatic Center in Beijing.
The new movie Tropic Thunder spoofs everyone. Those are demonstrators from the Special Olympics and people with disabilities protesting because the word retard is used in the movie.
I know who I am! I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Saying a big yuck in Xenia, Ohio, where Burger King has fired an employee whose MySpace video showed him celebrating his birthday by dressing in his birthday suit to take a nice sudsy bath in the restaurant's kitchen sink. Local health commissioner was not amused. Three workers gone. This is CBS News.
Imagine what your life would be like if over half your credit card debt was gone. You don't have to imagine life without credit card debt. You can call Financial Freedom of America for a free, no-obligation debt consultation. Their friendly staff will show you how they can wipe out 30 to 60% of your credit card bills. Not available in all states. The call is free. The consultation is free. Call 800-768-9617. 800-768-9617. Don't wait another minute. Call 800-768-9617.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, it can save you hundreds by being the one-stop place to compare Progressive's rates to those of other top companies. What's more, if you have any questions, we offer live phone support 24/7. And if you'd like to picture us with soap opera good looks, then go right ahead. What else would you expect in utopia? Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company's affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates available in most states and situations.
This year has been, so far at least, another mild tropical storm season, but it's far from over.
Mid-August means the start of the mean season.
That's when the conditions in the atmosphere and the ocean are the most conducive for storms to form and get the strongest.
National Hurricane Center forecaster Richard Pasch says the ocean is warmer, the atmosphere less stable, and that makes the next 8 weeks the peak of hurricane season. Some of the most devastating storms have happened during this stretch. Think Andrew and Katrina. There are two systems out there now.
Both of them are showing some signs of organization.
Pasch says it's too early to tell how strong they'll get or where they'll go. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
The pilot of a custom, hand-built airplane made a safe emergency landing on a California interstate highway ramp. Once on the ground, he got it sorted out and started his takeoff roll. A car came along, slammed into the plane, and killed the pilot. Minor injuries to the people in that car. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 505 to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, 505. To qualify for the free webcam, WebEx, now part of Cisco and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code 505. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. We make one of these every day. And it comes without a warranty. Sorry, you can't get your money back. Lots to talk about. A live report from the Mediterranean Sea and the Free Gaza Expedition. We'll kick off our show in a moment. John Stalber will join us, too, this half hour from the Center for Media and Democracy. And we're going to take a look at MoveOn.org. It's 10 years old. Also on our program today, continuing coverage of the conflict between Russia and Georgia. We'll talk with Professor Anna Vasilieva of the Monterey Institute. And I need to go to the Slavic school accent program, get an upgrade on my pronunciations of some of these fine, fine names from Russia and Georgia. Also on today's program, Shelley Pingree. You may recall her joining us frequently as the president of Common Cause USA. She wants to put some of those good government issues into action. She's running for Congress in Maine, and Shelley will join us an hour away. Also on today's show, Jason Leopold tracking Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, on a book tour. And she took a lot of flack in Los Angeles earlier today for her refusal to consider impeachment. She's on her way, in fact, right up the road from me, where she's speaking this evening. Also on today's program, Melanie Sloan from CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, and the Attorney General, who goes by the title Judge Mukasey. He doesn't want to really do any investigating or pressing charges against people in his own department who broke the law. We'll air that out. Plus, Ralph Reed supporting John McCain, who used to criticize Ralph Reed. We'll talk about all that during the program today. And you can join me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Yep, I pay for the call. Every month I send a check in. It's toll-free, 888-573-8372. Dr. Paul LaRudy is reporting in every day at this time whenever we can reach him. He's in, last time we checked, he was on the island of Crete headed for Cyprus and then to the Gaza Strip to challenge the Israeli blockade of Gaza. You can follow their progress on the web at freegaza.org. Paul, how are you tonight?
I'm doing very well. We've had some very encouraging news from the Greek government. The Greek government was asked by some of the local papers about our project, and in fact, the government has been under heavy pressure. A request from the Israeli government to have us investigated, and I don't know what. Anyway, their response was, these people are doing something legal. And they warned Greek citizens who are participating with us and who are among our passengers and participants. They warned them that it might be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all they said. It is legal, but be cautious. It's dangerous for Greek citizens.
Now, let me just ask you for a comparison here, because in Beijing over the last couple of days, some human rights activists convened a little meeting, and they wanted to show a video. And about 20 minutes into it, reportedly, the power went out, only in that building. Everybody else had their lights on nearby, and when the event was over the following day, the power came back on. And I just use that as an example of a heavy-handed regime that uses every available means to squelch dissent or contrary expression of opinion. And I'm curious if you think that Israel will try to work through other governments to make this journey difficult, if not impossible, for you.
Well, they already are trying to do that. I'm personally in touch with someone in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Cyprus, and they report that Israel is putting pressure. And we know that that's the case, and we would expect it. It's the case in Greece as well. But we have an awful lot of friends in Greece who have given us tremendous receptions here, and they're looking after us.
Mm-hmm.
So the Greek government is not going to do anything like that.
Okay. Well, good. And Paul, what is the weather like? I understand your departure has been delayed due to heavy seas.
Yes, that's true. There's the Carpathian Straits just on the eastern side of Crete are notorious for powerful winds and treacherous seas, and that's what they are right now. But there are periods when they're quite calm, and as soon as that's the case, we're going to head across them, but it would be dangerous otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, Paul, I
can also report that Lauren Booth, who is the sister-in-law of Tony Blair, has undertaken to she's a journalist, and she's one of our group, and she has undertaken to send more and collect our reports and our photographs and put them up on the website for us. So hopefully within today and tomorrow and so forth, you'll see a lot more on the website.
Great. And that's freegaza.org. There are already some powerful video testimonies up there, and also more information about who's on board this flotilla. And we wish you all the best, Paul. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Hope I might have a little surprise for you then. Anyway,
okay.
I'll look forward to it.
All right. We'll be prepared for that. Thank you, Dr. Paul Arruti with the Free Gaza Movement. And again, their website, freegaza.org. John Stauber joins me now from Madison, Wisconsin, a hotbed of liberalism. And, boy, I had a great visit there a week and a half ago. John, how are you?
I'm fine, Peter, and it was great to see you out here in the Midwest.
Well, it was a great weekend, and I enjoyed catching up with you and some of the other lefties there in Madison. And while I was there, you had told me that you'd been quoted, and then just the next day I read the article by Chris Hayes in The Nation, and this is about the 10th anniversary of MoveOn.org. And you're an interesting guy because you are willing to call it the way you see it. You don't let orthodoxy of the right ever limit you, and I've never seen orthodoxy of the left limit you. And you offered some friendly criticism of MoveOn.org. You certainly mentioned that they've done a lot of good things, but you also kind of hold them up to a standard to try to achieve a potential that in some respects you believe hasn't been met, and I tend to agree with you. So first of all, the baseline, Move On, was started 10 years ago to try to get the Republicans to move on from impeachment. And then they kind of cast about for a purpose, and the Bush administration and the war in Iraq gave them a purpose. And I think that they played an interesting role in the 2006 election cycle, raised a lot of money, and I think were instrumental in helping the Democrats win control of the House and narrow control of the Senate. But the mandate of the voters was, at least in part, to end the war in Iraq. And one of your criticisms is that Move On has become too closely aligned with the Democratic Party itself.
Well, Move On's real strength is in its email list. It claims to have 3.2 million people currently on its email list, and I think that's probably an accurate number. When you've got an email list like that, you can raise a tremendous amount of money. Even if a small percentage of those 3.2 million people who get your emails are opening them and clicking on the donation button, you're raising an awful lot of money. And, in fact, Move On is able to raise tens of millions of dollars a year. And in any given year, their political action committee is typically the second or third largest contributor of money to Democratic Party candidates. It's a real powerhouse. And my major criticism of Move On is, just as you stated it, Peter, that it's a top-down organization that is primarily a marketing and fundraising machine for the Democratic Party. A lot of people who are on that 3.2 million member mailing list of Move On became members of that mailing list because they saw Move On as an organization that was anti-war and working to get the U.S. occupation of Iraq stopped. In fact, in 2002 and 2003, Move On was vociferously attempting to stop the invasion of Iraq. And in 2004, 2005, 2006, they were advocating for a complete withdrawal. But after that 2006 election, ironically, when Move On helped the Democrats come to power, and when the Democrats really came to power because of public revulsion against the war in Iraq, after that election, Move On joined the Nancy Pelosi wing of the party, which decided that it would promote and pass legislation that continued to fund the war. Well, calling on President Bush to do something in a timelined manner to end the occupation. The problem with that is that, you know, the Democrats do control the Senate and the Congress, and Speaker Pelosi has the power to not send to the floor for consideration any funding bill. So if she really wanted to take the will of the people in the 2006 election seriously, she could have created a confrontation with this administration and really put some teeth into what she says she wants to do.
And John, I call that inspired inaction. And the speaker used that briefly on the FISA debate this year from the end of February until they caved in early July. And she also is using this inspired inaction to try to block a lift on the offshore drilling ban. And so those are examples of how the prerogative of the speaker or the Senate leader can block legislation. And we know that, coordinated with your great congressman, David Obey, who chairs the Appropriations Committee, that the speaker could have declared that, A, we're not going to give full funding to the president, we're going to give him a monthly allowance, or they could have cut off funding for the occupation of Iraq altogether. And they have chosen not to do that.
That's right. And Move On, the anti-war movement, really played a key role in covering Pelosi's behind on all this.
And let me, I'm sorry, but I need to take a break, and we'll pick up there with covering the behind, and also the way Move On does poll its members but often does not give them full-throated choices. We'll pick up there as we continue with John Stauber. And if you're a Move On member and you'd like to comment from your own experience, pro or con, I'd like to hear your thoughts. Move On at 10. 888-5, Peter B. is my number. That's 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th. Buy your tickets online and save big. MontereyCountyFair.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hambly, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LeCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LeCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey, reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Colin Show, talking about Move On at its 10th birthday with John Stauber from the Center for Media and Democracy based in Madison, Wisconsin. Their website, one of many, prwatch.org. And in a moment, we're going to tell you about a searchable database that they've set up there related to the Pentagon General story. And John Stauber is still my hero for going on the public television news hour and telling the truth about that. Now, John, relative to Move On, just before the break, we were talking about how they are pretty attentive to polling their members, and I think that they are sincere in trying to reflect the interests of members, and you cannot necessarily push people into, say, impeachment positions or other things that may seem extreme to the mainstream. You know, they need to find that path. At the same time, I'm persuaded from comments by David Swanson, our friend, a grassroots organizer in opposition to the war and a proponent of impeachment. He was quoted in the same article that Chris Hayes wrote in The Nation about the way they presented choices such as, do you support Bush on the war or do you support Pelosi? Not even offering a third way reflected by Barbara Lee, Lynn Woolsey, and Maxine Waters and their proposals from the Out of Iraq caucus.
That's exactly true. Remember, this is early 2007 we're talking about. Because of public revulsion against the Bush administration's war and occupation of Iraq, the Democrats controlled the House and Senate as they do today. Speaker Pelosi really pulled the rug out from under the Out of Iraq caucus. People by like Barbara Lee, Dennis Kucinich, and others who, of course, were pushing to only fund a safe and orderly end to the occupation, not this continuing war that the Democrats have funded. And the anti-war groups were seeing that Move On was not engaging in this debate. They, too, were pulling the rug out from under the anti-war caucus, and they'd been positioning themselves, Move On had, as the nation's leading anti-war organization. What was going on? Move On decided to poll their members. And this survey they did, as you mentioned, offered essentially three choices. Do you support Nancy Pelosi on Iraq? Do you support George Bush on Iraq? Or do you not have an opinion? Mm. The important question, which was asked by another organization, by the way, TrueMajority.org, was how do you feel about the Pelosi position of funding the war and asking the president to set some timelines for withdrawal, the Barbara Lee Amendment, which was a true anti-war position, or George Bush in the war. And they found that only 24% of True Majority's members supported the Pelosi plan. And I'm sure if Move On had done an honest survey where they really laid out the important options, rather than creating this false dichotomy of it's either Pelosi or Bush, we would have seen a really different result from the Move On members. 96% of the so-called Move On members, the 3.2 million people on the list, didn't even respond to the survey.
Mm-hmm.
Another criticism I have of Move On is this whole idea of membership. There are 3.2 million of us who get the Move On emails. They come, you know, they're very, very folksy, and Eli and Wes and Joan and Elise and Adam and others mm-hmm. sign them and ask us to do things. But it's incredibly top-down. There's no office. If you wanted to right now pick up the phone and call the central command and Move On and discuss this with them, you'd find there is no phone number to call. There's no office.
Not even an undisclosed location. Hey, let's talk to Karen in Sacramento. Welcome, Karen. You're on with Peter B. and John Stauber.
Well, hey, I had to, like, rejoin the reunion from last week. That was such a great time.
Yeah, you came to Madison, and I'm glad you did. Just have about 40 seconds here, Karen. What's your experience with Move On?
I've had nothing but good experiences with them, actually, just as a person in the trench who has a super busy schedule and who just wants to be told where to go, what time, and what to do when I'm there.
I think that's exactly what they're good for, and obviously people who are busy and just want the marching orders like it.
Yeah, politics is a TV dinner. Wish we had more time, Karen. Thank you very much. And John Stauber, I'm running short of time, but at sourcewatch.org, one of your websites, people can log on for a searchable database of the Pentagon's military analyst program, the retired generals and other officers who were inserted and embedded into our media.
That's right. Go to prwatch.org and read Diane Farsetta's article about this.
Okay, great. And John, keep up the pressure on that. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Peter. Thanks for having me on.
John Stauber, Center for Media and Democracy.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. This is Dave Ross in for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. There's another study about the consequences of being fat, but this one might actually be good news for a change, as you'll hear after this.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039. Call now. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039.
While it's true that we have an obesity epidemic in America, it also appears to be true that appearances can be deceiving. Even people fat enough that ambulances troll behind them may in fact be surprisingly fit. Mary Fran Sowers, a University of Michigan obesity researcher, studied overweight adults and found that about 51% of them, representing 35 million people, had close to normal blood pressure and healthy blood tests, normal cholesterol, normal blood sugar, normal triglycerides. And as for those who are not just overweight but obese, 20% of them also had healthy vital signs. But here's the really perverse part. Of the adults who were normal weight, the people who are supposedly taking care of themselves, the very types that cast a judgmental eye on their more portly neighbors, 25% of them were in fact less healthy than obese people, which means an estimated 16 million have blood readings that spell heart attack. So, what do we conclude from this, besides the fact that there's no justice in the world? Well, the doctors will have to adjust their attitude toward weight because it's not just about the weight. What the healthy people in the study had in common, regardless of weight, was that they got regular exercise. In other words, someone who's a normal weight but doesn't exercise could be just as likely to end up in the ER as somebody who's fat and doesn't exercise. And because abdominal fat is especially harmful to sensitive internal organs, researchers are coming to the conclusion that it's not how much you weigh, but where the weight is that determines your chances of survival. Studies show that carrying a pot belly is especially dangerous, which would mean that the best predictor of a heart attack may not be the familiar body mass index, but a simple waist measurement. You don't have to be a munchkin to be healthy, but you do have to be able to see your toes. The Osgood File, Dave Ross, on the CBS Radio Network.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next hour, congressional candidate Shelley Pingree running for Congress in Maine, and Jason Leopold from thepublicrecord.org. Interesting developments in the conflict between Russia and Georgia. Just minutes ago, CNN reporting that President Saakashvili and French President Nicolas Sarkozy, along with Dmitry Medvedev, who is the new president of Russia, they have agreed to a six-point plan that stops short of specifically addressing the issue of Georgia's sovereignty and territorial integrity. But Russia agrees to conclude all military operations, return Russian armed forces to the line of last Thursday, and not to use force again in Georgia. In return, Georgia is agreeing to return its armed forces to their normal and permanent locations. Both sides have agreed to provide free access for humanitarian assistance and international consideration of the issues of South Ossetia and Abkhazia. We get informed comment from Professor Anna Vasilieva. She is at the Monterey Institute of International Studies, professor of Russian Studies program head, a graduate school of language and educational linguistics and research associate of the Center for Russian and Eurasian Studies and the Center for East Asian Studies. Dr. Vasilyev, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
And help me a little. It's Vasilieva. Is that the right way to pronounce your last name?
Well, Russians pronounce it Vasilieva with a stress on the second syllable, but your pronunciation is quite good.
Well, you're very generous. Vasilieva. My mother studied a little Russian when I was a child, and I learned just a few words, and I marvel at the accents.
Well, that shows that the way you pronounce my last name. I should thank your mother for that.
Okay. Just tell me, first of all, your reaction to the breaking news that I just cited, a report 12 minutes old from CNN.
Well, actually, we should know that we should notice that the President Medvedev of Russia has made a decision about stopping military action in Georgia about an hour before President Sarkozy of Russia arrived in Moscow.
I see.
So that was very important for the Russians to make it their initiative rather than the initiative that would be sponsored by the European Union.
Mm-hmm. Now, just on that note, Medvedev and Putin seem to understand each other's roles, but it's a little hard for us to figure out. Who is actually in charge there?
Well, I should say that the driving force, the inspiration, the mind behind Russia's behavior in this conflict is certainly Vladimir Putin. And when I say that, it's not to diminish the role of the new president. You know, Putin has been the president of Russia for 8 years. You know, he comes from, if not military, then security background, and he certainly has much more experience in dealing with the situation. So it's quite logical that the prime minister, although traditionally, prime minister is a weaker political figure in Russian establishment, is taking charge and taking lead there. Although it was very obvious when President Medvedev met today with Russian defense minister to make the announcement of ceasefire, he tried very hard to look if not a la Putin behavior, but he tried very hard to look very firm and determined, which is not easy because he just is a very different type, different personality, much softer and, liberal than his predecessor.
Now, Doctor, I've been trying to find out who the good guys are here, and I'm starting to believe this is kind of a film noir. where Georgia appears
welcome
to have used.
To Russia.
Oh, thank you. That Georgia and Saakashvili appear to have used poor judgment and been falsely encouraged by support from the United States in gratitude for Georgia's support of our mess in Iraq. And so it appears that Georgia miscalculated by launching its own military strikes into South Ossetia last week. And at the same time, this is a simmering conflict of sorts that I guess has been working its way up since 1991 or so. The tensions between Georgia and Russia are not new. But the United States has sided very firmly with Georgia, and I'm trying to figure out if that is the right position to take. Is that the correct humanitarian and social justice position?
Well, there are two things that I'd like to mention here related to your comments and questions here. You're absolutely right saying that this history, this conflict is not a new conflict. They call it a frozen conflict, which is a pretty metaphor, but it's a mistaken metaphor because the blood of men in the Caucasus is very hot. You know, and history of those conflicts goes very deep. And men in the Caucasus, and that includes Georgia and Ossetia and Abkhazia and Dagestan and Ingushetia, the whole region, they are brought, they are born to fight. Okay? So that makes any negotiation, any rational intervention very difficult. So when, you know, the critical point for us here is, you're right, 1990, 1991, when the Soviet Union was falling apart. And that was the time when Georgia announced itself to be independent from any legal binding obligations, of the, you know, to the Soviet Union or the Soviet structure. So, what's important, to our listeners here is that at the same very time when Georgia announced that it's completely independent from its Soviet legal obligations, that was the time when South Ossetia and Abkhazia followed the suit and they said, well, we're not a part of Georgia anymore. Okay? But Georgia at that time had the first, by the way, democratically elected president who turned out to be the staunch nationalist who pronounced in multinational Georgia the slogan, Georgia is for Georgians.
And that's Shevardnadze.
No, that was before Shevardnadze. That was Zviad Gamsakhurdia.
Okay.
That was the first democratically elected president of Georgia.
Right.
And so Zviad Gamsakhurdia starts this campaign of basically ethnic cleansing. And this is when the war starts, or wars, let me put the word in plural here, because, you know, he basically starts the war against South Ossetians and against Abkhazians. And we're talking about hundreds of people dead. You know, we're talking about the history of tremendous grief when the refugees, Ossetian refugees, were killed point blank on the road by Georgian forces. And that was 1991, 1992. And people remember all that. So since then, and that war was quelled by Russians. You know, nobody gives credit to Russia for that. But there were major wars going aside. We all know about Chechnya, but very few people here in this country know about what was happening in Georgia with those republics, breakaway republics.
Mm-hmm.
And Russian peacekeepers are there since 1992. So that was the agreement that's very important to understand. 1992, when the war was stopped by Russian peacekeepers and three battalions of South Ossetians, Georgians, and Russians started to take care of the security in that region. Okay? And since then, South Ossetians dreamt about independence. You know, dreamt about it. So, you know, they took all kinds of legal acts and, you know, pronounced independence from Georgia. So there was never an attempt to do any kind of rapprochement. So then we have 2004, and President Saakashvili, you know, this 40-year-old, very impulsive, American-trained lawyer, is being brought to power. Basically, there are accounts saying that, yes, there were elections, but at the same time, there was a very strong American push, you know, to put him in that position, okay? Because he was the man who spoke the same language with the United States of America. And he makes this unification of Georgia a cornerstone of his domestic politics. So all that brings us to that horrific night of the 8th of August when Georgian forces, let me emphasize, started to do the heavy shelling of the city of Tsinvali, which is the capital of North Ossetia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
and just to be clear, North Ossetia is clearly in Russian territory.
Absolutely. North Ossetia. See, what, again, what's important for our listeners to realize that Ossetians are one people. In mm-hmm. Russian, we call them Ossetini. So that, that people of Ossetians were separated or are separated physically, geographically by the Caucasian range of mountains. So in order to make it easier to handle those people, Stalin basically broke the territory that was populated by them into two parts. There is a northern Ossetia, which became a part in the 1920s, when the Soviet Union was formed, it became a part of Russia, Russian Federative Republic, and there was South Ossetia, which was south of the Caucasian range, mm-hmm. Of mountains,
right.
Which became a part of Georgia.
Okay. And so, again, to be clear, on August 8th, Georgia, its military started shelling not in the disputed territory of South Ossetia, but across the Caucasus and into clearly
Khinvali,
Russian territory.
They started to shell the Khinvali, which is the capital of South Ossetia.
Okay, I see
that.
And so
you asked me also about the American role in training. So there is a big thorn in Russian side, of course, because, we all know, basically, we as American taxpayers have been paying salaries to Georgian officers, American advisors, about over 100 American advisors, some say almost 200 American military advisors are working in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And, so the Georgian army was equipped by us, their personnel was trained by us, and, of course, we have a tremendous stake in the development of, what many Russians call as a marionette regime in Georgia. Why do we need to be there? And again, we hear all the slogans about democracy in Georgia and prosperity in Georgia and so on and so forth. But the reality is that it's a great opportunity geopolitically for the United States to have its foot in the region, to control the region, because we know all about the oil pipelines that
right.
are the, so far the only pipeline that goes, far from Russian territory. Is going through the territory of Georgia. So geopolitically it's important, economically it's important, and so the conversation of the beacon of democracy with Mr. Saakashvili as the head of that, they are very sweet to the American ear, but we also need to be responsible in trying to support the regime, which showed its face, unfortunately, tragically, on this fateful night of August 8th by starting to shell civilians. We're talking about almost 2,000 civilians in Khinvali, the capital of South Ossetia, who were killed by the Georgian forces.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Professor Anna Vasilieva from the Monterey Institute of International Studies. She's with us till the top of the hour. So if you have a question or comment about this conflict between Georgia and Russia, feel free to give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B. Now, Doctor, I'm looking at this critically. And the U.S. was desperate for a coalition in Iraq. And Georgia was one of the few countries willing to send combat troops and put them at the disposal of the U.S. And so I'm trying to figure out who is more opportunistic here. The U.S. Using Georgia clearly when other nations, significantly Turkey, would not support our unilateral invasion of Iraq. And at the same time, we now owe Georgia, and it appeared that Vice President Cheney was offering Saakashvili pretty strong reassurances in a phone call this past Sunday. It sounded like George H.W. Bush when Kuwait was invaded, saying, that this cannot be permitted to stand.
Well, as I've mentioned already, United States has a tremendous stake in the success of Georgia's democracy. The hope that Georgia will evolve, or democratic changes or process in Georgia would evolve the way we would like it to evolve, we in the United States, was shattered when President Saakashvili violently dispersed demonstrations in the capital of his country, Tbilisi, last November, when there were people walking out in the streets and demanding cleaning up corruption and criticizing his government, and he sent police. We've got some reports here in the West
when he closed down the independent television station to basically block the alternative interpretation of the events. So all those should have been the warning signs. But, you know, and this show is not about American administration here, you know, although I could certainly, you know, explain some mistakes. But again, you know, what the American administration is doing is either putting all its eggs in one basket in terms of putting all the hopes into one leader, you know, and that's what happened with Saakashvili. You know, we really, really invested in him without ever looking back, allowing any criticism or second thought. You know, Americans, Europeans, I'm sorry, are much, much more nuanced in their analysis of Saakashvili's political behavior, you know, and much more critical than we are.
Mm-hmm.
So, and on the other hand, of course, for Russia, you know, once Putin came to power in 2000, he became a villain, you know, that bad guy, you know. So, bad guy because, you know, Russia changed this myth of being a defeated, humiliated nation into mm-hmm. the nation which evolved on its own.
Mm-hmm. It's all very interesting.
American politicians now, and President Cheney, of course, Vice President Cheney, what can we expect from him? You know, did you hear McCain's speech? The same.
Yeah.
You know, he claims that Saakashvili is his friend. He can't even pronounce his name. It all reminded me Brezhnev, you know, in the 70s, when we would listen to him, start him talk on TV and would never know who he's talking about because he was unable to pronounce the names of
Well, and to be fair, Obama had a little trouble with Abkhazia, but he's on vacation.
Well, that, you know, I mean, that tells us.
Right. We need to take a break. Professor, I'll be back in just a moment. That is Professor Anna Vasilieva from the Monterey Institute of International Studies. We'll take your calls in the next segment at 888-5-PETER-B. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet?
Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build community, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
The Peter B. Collins Show is sponsored by the Organic Wine Company. You eat organic fruits and vegetables, wash it down with organic wine. You can call them toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE or visit them on the web at ecowine.com. Breaking news this afternoon, Georgia and Russia have reached a sort of settlement, a six-point plan, and Russia will end its hostilities inside the borders of Georgia, retreat to the lines of August 7th, and both sides have agreed to end the hostilities and permit access for humanitarian assistance. We're talking with Professor Anna Vasilyeva from the Monterey Institute of International Studies. And how close did we come to a very serious conflict that could have drawn in the United States, in your opinion, Professor?
Oh, very closely. You know, very closely. When I was watching this rhetoric, I was actually in New York on the weekend, and so I was watching CNN, and all these Russian actions will not go unanswered or unpunished, and the inflammatory rhetoric of politicians and journalists, you know, was such that, you know, at some point, you know, I got a bit anxious. And, you know, the turning point for me was the mentioning of Ukraine possibly blocking Russian naval ships from returning to the seaport of Sevastopol in the Black Sea in case they would go towards Abkhazia to help the Abkhazians. Mm-hmm. And if Ukraine would intervene in that way, that could bring really the local conflicts of what we can see as local conflicts into a much more spread and more serious confrontation. And when I say that, I really mean it. You know, it could be the scenario of Third World War.
And one of the critical weapons here is oil and natural gas. Putin
Absolutely.
Has been extremely aggressive with Ukraine and with other former Soviet republics in exercising central control over these resources. And as I understand it, I'm not an expert on these things, but friends who've talked to me about the situation in the Ukraine said that there was a lot of product that didn't make it through the pipeline that got diverted as it passed through Ukraine. And so it appears that no one is innocent here and that these are some bare-knuckled power games that we're witnessing.
But when you say nobody is innocent, but Russia is to blame, you know, that's, let me finish the formula here. I mean, you know what happened with Ukraine. You know, Russia was just trying to be the market economy the way the West it wanted to be. And when Ukraine, after months of negotiations, absolutely refused, and we're going back here to 2004, it absolutely refused to be buying energy resources using the market prices that Russia offered, and Russia stopped selling it to it, just blocked. You know, basically Ukrainian supply, Ukraine started to divert oil for its own use, thus stopping the supply for Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
And what did Europeans do instead of blaming Ukraine for stealing? What did they say? They said that Russia is an unreliable partner. So it's been, you know, it's been tremendously interesting to watch the political rhetoric, you know. Mm-hmm. And one can understand, again, I'm not trying to serve as an advocate for Russia, but, you know, what's amazing for those who are bilingual and can go on the websites or read or watch TV of, you know, East European, West European, and Russian, you can see completely different interpretation of the same fact.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been living in this black and white world, which is, again, very dangerous because Russia has been tested for long enough by now for it to really say, look, you know, we have our own interests. We're going to defend those interests. And at some point we will stop caring, you know, what the international community is trying to tell us, because we don't trust you. And this is, again, going back to the Georgian conflict. You know, this is one of the conditions that are going to be very difficult to fulfill. Russians are saying that they're absolutely not going to negotiate with Saakashvili anymore because they don't trust him. So what are we going to do?
Now, Professor, I have just about a minute remaining. What would you like to mention for my listeners' edification that I haven't asked you about?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Is there anything else you'd like to add that we haven't already touched
right.
on?
Right. Yeah, what's very important when you were talking about those 6 points, you know, the agreement, what is very important for listeners to know that one of the points was bringing the issue of Abkhazia and South Ossetia and Georgia into the realm of international discussion and trying to work out the scenario for the peaceful resolution of those conflicts in the future. This is very, very important for us. The international consideration of the issues of South Ossetia and Abkhazia will be undertaken, and hopefully they will be looked upon as, you know, within the realm of international law and will be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Because politicians are politicians, media is media, but people, innocent people, are suffering, and, you know, there's no reason why it should be continuing. So this is something that hopefully will happen very soon, because the conflict has very deep roots, but it needs to be resolved. And only with the help of international community we can do that.
Professor Anna Vasilyeva from the Monterey Institute of International Studies, a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you very much for inviting me to this show.
Bonjour,
thank
this
you.
Is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/PeterB. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. A ceasefire, but the firing doesn't cease.
It is very confused. It's difficult to know whether the fighting's going on.
Food prices could be coming down.
Farmers now on pace to produce the second largest corn crop ever and the fourth largest soybean crop.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. From Moscow, French President Nicolas Sarkozy flew to Tbilisi, Georgia, with a ceasefire deal he brokered, and late today, Georgian President Mikhail Saakashvili accepted it.
I agree with everything that President Sarkozy said. This document has clear indication there should be ceasefire, there should be separation of parties, and there should be internationalization of the process.
But first, the fighting has to stop. The bombing of Gori, a crossroads city near South Ossetia, continued, and there were reports that Russian forces elsewhere continued their offensive, even after President Dmitry Medvedev announced a halt of military operations. In Washington, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice pressed for a resolution.
The Georgians have agreed to a ceasefire. The Russians need to stop their military operations, as they have apparently said that they will. But those military operations really do now need to stop.
The Bush administration would like to punish Russia, but CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer reports the options are limited.
The administration has little, if any, leverage with a Russia that seems determined to make a post-Soviet era show of strength on the world stage. By all accounts, military options are off the table. So the U.S. is considering symbolic protests, actions ranging from taking away Moscow's coveted spot in the G8 economic group to boycotting meetings sponsored by the Russian government.
Washington reportedly has canceled a joint naval exercise with Russia, Britain, and France that was scheduled to begin next week. A pipeline carries oil across Georgia to a Black Sea port, and analyst David Purcell says it might be a factor in Russia's calculations.
Having more control over Georgia and more control over the pipeline from a Russia perspective would not be a bad thing. So it may not be the primary motivation, but it would certainly be a secondary motivation.
Russia blames Georgia for provoking the crisis and says the aggressor has been punished.
British Sky News reporter Stuart Ramsey is in the Georgian capital, Tbilisi.
I don't think many people expected it to turn into the a full-out war that we had here, and Georgia is responsible for that. They did, without doubt, start this, but it's the Russians who have, without doubt, finished it.
Now this.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more? Let the IRS veterans at Effector help stop levies and wage garnishment. We can help you get your life back in order. Our ex-IRS agents have over 100 years combined experience in IRS collection tactics. Get a free consultation and put our team of experts between you and the IRS. Call 800-536-9092. That's 800-536-9092. 800-536-9092.
Hi, I'm the director of a medical center that just added Aflac to the benefits we provide for our employees. It's been a very welcome addition. With Aflac, our benefits package is more like a bundle of joy. In fact, everyone at the hospital can sleep easy knowing we have...
Aflac, 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 Aflac.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
The price of crude oil dropped to $113 a barrel today as the Energy Department reported this country's demand for oil is down by 800,000 barrels a day, the biggest decline in 26 years.
These are not sort of short-term changes in behavior. People are driving less. There's much less commercial truck traffic on the road. And if you've been to an airport, I don't need to tell you, less planes in the air.
Tom Kloza of the Oil Price Information Service. Gasoline prices are coming down, and the latest crop report suggests food prices will follow. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has that.
It's good news for consumers. Food prices for a while soared after farms in the Midwest suffered damage from the swollen Mississippi and other rivers in June.
Since the floods, Mother Nature's been, if you will, very cooperative.
Chad Hart, economist at Iowa State, this Department of Agriculture report, speaks of nearly ideal weather that let farmers replant. Now on pace to produce the second largest corn crop ever and the fourth largest soybean crop. So prices are already falling. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Cotton is the exception. That crop is expected to come in at a 19-year low. Many growers have switched to more lucrative crops. And Gary Adams of the National Cotton Council says what's left has taken a beating from the weather.
The fact that we had Hurricane Dolly that moved into the very southern tip of Texas, unfortunately, at the timing there was just as the crop was being about ready to harvest.
Texas cotton production is projected to be down by 3 million bales. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Imagine what your life would be like if over half your credit card debt was gone. You don't have to imagine life without credit card debt. You can call Financial Freedom of America for a free, no-obligation debt consultation. Their friendly staff will show you how they can wipe out 30 to 60% of your credit card bills. Not available in all states. The call is free. The consultation is free. Call 800-768-9617. 800-768-9617. Don't wait another minute. Call 800-768-9617.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, it can save you hundreds by being the one-stop place to compare Progressive's rates to those of other top companies. What's more, if you have any questions, we offer live phone support 24/7. And if you'd like to picture us with soap opera good looks, then go right ahead. What else would you expect in utopia? Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company's affiliates, Smithfield Falls, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates available in most...
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. And 2 weeks from today, we'll be live from Denver at the Democratic National Convention. You can help. There's a link on my webpage right there on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. And I want to thank all the people who are helping underwrite our exclusive coverage of the Democrats in Denver. Later this hour, Jason Leopold joins us. Among the stories he's covering, Speaker Nancy Pelosi crisscrossing California on a book tour. Took a lot of flack in Los Angeles earlier today for her staunch position in opposition to impeachment. I want to tell you, in the cynical world of politics, candidates are divided into two basic categories. Those who play hardball and the good government types. And the cynics in politics deride the good government types because they regard them as goody-two-shoes who kind of get in the way of machine politics and party discipline and that sort of thing. And I happen to love the good government types, and one good government gal is Chelly Pingree. You may have heard her on our program in the past. She served with distinction as president of Common Cause USA, and before that she ran for the Senate from the great state of Maine. And this year she is contesting an open seat for Congress in Maine. She joins us from that beautiful state this afternoon. Chelly Pingree, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's nice to be with you again.
And I don't often quote myself, but a few years back you came to San Francisco and you were entering the studio and I said, Chelly Pingree is in the House, but she ought to be in the Senate. And I guess I'll just have to modify that. You ought to be in the House. Cause that's...
Well, I'll take either one, but I'm honored to be a candidate and hoping that things are going to go very well for me and other candidates in November.
My first priority, Chelly Pingree, is I want my Fourth Amendment back.
Ah.
What are you
tell me what got you thinking about that today.
Well, the FISA law. I can accept a bad farm bill. I can accept a bad tax policy. I've learned to accept the continuing funding for the occupation of Iraq. But I cannot accept Democratic complicity in the rollback of our constitutional rights and the giveaway to the Bush administration on FISA, complete with telecom immunity, past and future. And the fact is we will never know the extent to which our government spied on us illegally, and now we've legalized it.
Yeah. No, I think you're right to be, although I think you should be mad about everything you mentioned in that laundry list, but I think this is one of those issues that it's shocking that Democrats didn't stand up on the issue, especially, as you said, on the telecom immunity.
Yeah.
And it's a it tends to be a nonpartisan issue. I'm in a district that's a third Republican, a third Democrat, and a third Independent. And this isn't just Democrats I hear from. People do not want the government invading their privacy, and they want them to respect the United States Constitution. It's universal.
Yeah. So how can we get it back? I mean, Barack Obama participated in the cave-in.
Yeah. And nobody seemed to have a very good sort of excuse or argument for why they were doing it. I think Senator Obama said, well, they were going to try to clean it up in the U.S. Senate. I have to tell you that campaigning this year, and you mentioned I campaigned in 2002, and I find it very different. I find the public very rabid, very angry at what's going on, everything from the war to health care, the gas prices, our dependence on foreign oil. But from Democrats in particular, I hear this level of anger. You know, where's their backbone? And what happens? You know, they say to me, I got a great progressive record. I guarantee you I'm a fighter on every issue. But people say to me, you know, you seem great, but how do we know that you're not going to go to Washington and lose your fight and lose your willingness to take on these issues? I think there's a huge amount of worrying about Democrats and Republicans, and I think people are right to keep pushing.
Well, and Chelly, I'm a progressive. I'm technically a declined estate voter here in California, but I vote for Democrats most of the time. And, you know, I really do not understand how they have misread the mood of the electorate. And I do understand the big picture that Pelosi thinks that she's going to roll up big margins and have even greater control of the House. There are dreams that we might get 60 votes in the Senate. And I'm certainly hopeful that we don't have a continuation of Republicans in the White House. But the other side of that is that no matter who the party is, one party rule leads to corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we prevent that? Should all of our dreams come true in November?
Well, it, it, usually takes a couple of years before you become one of those corrupt one-party rule, you know, states or countries. And, I mean, we certainly, you're right, we've seen it happen in certain states where one party, you know, either side can get too full of their own sort of power and you know, forget the voters and forget the people who brought them there. I kind of look at this a little bit differently. I worry about the long term, but I'm very worried about the short run here. I think that, you know, if we're lucky enough to get a Democrat in the White House, and never underestimate the Democrats' ability to blow a sure thing, but let's say we do that and we have big margins, people can't say, okay, now we're in power. Let's sit on this power, you know, take it slow. We got to worry about being reelected. I think members of Congress are going to have to push very hard on Barack Obama, and we're all going to have to say, you get a short window of opportunity here. The public has very high expectations. They want to see us end the war. They want to see us do something about the energy crisis and the state of our economy. They want universal access to health care. And you can't say, well, we'll deliver it sometime down the road, because you never know how long you're going to be in power. And the longer you sit on it, the more arrogant, I think, and sort of cavalier you become about it.
Yeah. Well, and your cautionary note there is important. Bill Clinton had, you know, majorities in both houses for only two of his 8 years in Washington.
Right. The public doesn't give you a long time, and, you know, generally the public isn't, you know, highly partisan. You might have Democrats who are going to vote Democratic this time, and independents, or decline to sign, as you call them in California, but they won't do it forever if they think that the party's not delivering or the people that they send aren't delivering. Mm-hmm. And as you know, congressional approval ratings are low. And, you know, you have to restore people's confidence in government, and I think the opportunity is incredible. People are so ready for some very bold ideas. I can tell you, I get up, I've done a lot of work on health care over the years, took on the pharmaceutical manufacturers when I was a state legislator. And,
yes, you did.
And regulated the price of prescription drugs in our state.
You were taking seniors on buses to Canada, weren't you?
We were, back before before even people you know, were paying attention to those things. But it radicalized our state, and people are very zealous about health care. But I'll tell you, if you get up and say, you know, I want universal access to health care, I want health care for every man, woman, and child, you'll see three hands shoot up, and they'll say, well, so do you want single payer? I mean, people, you know, they're ready to take on the fight. They're just waiting for people elected to office who will do it with them.
Mm-hmm. Shelley Pingree is our guest. She's a Democratic candidate for Congress in the state of Maine. District number, Shelley?
CD1. We only have two, so it's either one or two.
And ChelleyPingree.com. I'm going to spell her name for you. Chellie Pingree, Pingree. ChelleyPingree.com is where you can get full information. And I'll bet you could make a donation there if you want to support her run for Congress this year. Shelley, one of the things that concerns me is some of the shifts in the polling. For example, the overall issue of Iraq in some people's minds has been reduced to whether the surge worked or not, and Obama has the correct position, but it doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, and so McCain seems to be persuading some people there. Even here in California, offshore drilling is now getting 51% support. That's the first time in 20 years, and so I'm concerned that some of these issues are actually being worked by the Republicans in a way that may benefit them.
Well, it's a terrifying thought, because there's an enormous difference between what we'd have in the White House with Barack Obama and John McCain. So I shudder at the idea that this country could elect John McCain. Luckily, it's still a long way to go between now and the election, but, you know, it's plenty to be worried about, and people can't take this for granted. I will say a couple things about the issue polling. I do think, you know, you're right, Iraq has fallen off as a number one issue for a lot of people. But I think, you know, this is my judging from being out campaigning every day for over a year now. I think it's partly because people anticipate that something is going to happen after the elections, but not before. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are very angry about the war, and they're ready to end this war. They just, like, they've just assumed that someone is going to change it, but it's not going to be until the next president. I do worry about the conversation around energy and energy alternatives, and I think the people are in such a state of panic, particularly in a state like mine where we're very dependent on gas, on the cost of heating oil. This is a cold place, and we basically use heating oil, which has been very expensive, and they're looking for the first easy answer out. I do think that the more proposals that are put on the table for real alternatives, the more people will see that we have other options rather than continuing our dependence on foreign oil. I'll tell you, I actually live on one of the islands off the coast of Maine, and there are two island communities very close to each other. And just a couple of weeks ago, we approved a project, a $12 million project, to put a windmill in our community that will both produce our own power and send some power back to the mainland. And the vote was almost 400-5.
Oh my.
So you can see that when people are presented with an alternative, and this is a working, you know, this is a working community. So there are fishermen and people who work in the trades, plumbers, painters, carpenters. We pay some of the highest electric rates in the country. And when people see the alternative and say, okay, here's how we can do it and here's how we're going to finance it, they say yes.
And you're not going to name it after T. Boone Pickens, are you?
We're not. We're doing this all on our own. We didn't even have to call in T. Boone, you know. And this is the same kind of project that a few years ago, got squashed in Martha's Vineyard in Nantucket.
Right.
Because people said, oh, we don't want it in our backyard. But
yeah.
I'll tell you, it's a different climate out there right now.
We're going to take a break and return with candidate Shelley Pingree, Democrat running for Congress in the great state of Maine. If you got a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
Ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th. Buy your tickets online and save big. MontereyCountyFair.com.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis, addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. Not looking too bad out there right now. Northbound 1, Harkins Slough Road in Watsonville. Watch out for a wooden door that's been dropped in the right-hand lane. Van Lomond, Love Creek Road at Central Avenue. We have reports of a car fire, but no details as far as lanes go. Fire Department and CHP on the way. Highway 9 at Pierce Road. We have a two-car crash just coming in. CHP's on the way out to that. Highway 68 currently checks in Stalin, accident-free. 17 up in the Santa Cruz Mountains. No problems to tell you about. Look for some heavy traffic once you get to the fish hook in Santa Cruz, as usual. And this is brought to you by Cortisone 10. Cortisone 10 is the strongest anti-itch medicine you can buy without a prescription. Intensive healing formula moisturizes for 24 hours. Ditch the itch and feel the heal with Cortisone 10. If you spot a traffic problem, definitely give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Then send Shelley to Congress. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Shelley Pingree. She is a Democrat running for Congress in Maine, Congressional District 1. And as we mentioned, she previously served as the president of Common Cause USA, fighting on a lot of important fronts for us and for progressive values in Washington. And, Shelley, we're going to talk about an event that Nancy Pelosi held today where she was protested and harassed, I guess, or at least people were yelling at her about impeachment. And I happen to believe that Pelosi made a miscalculation after she became speaker in maintaining this pose that impeachment is off the table. And while I understand the risks of impeaching Cheney before Bush or Bush before Cheney, that sort of thing, I believe that by disarming, the Democrats made themselves vulnerable to many of the aggressive tactics that were used by the White House to prevail since Pelosi became Speaker. Well, what's your current take on impeachment? Should the Democrats have permitted it to at least go through the investigative stage?
Well, it's kind of hard now because it's getting so close to the end of their term. But I think you're right in questioning the very first thing that she did, when that was to say impeachment is off the table. I think it inflamed activists. I know that here in Maine, it was an issue that I was questioned about constantly when I first started the campaign. And I have to say, one of the best discussions I've ever seen of this was the one that Bill Moyers did, where he had John Nichols and
Bruce Fein,
right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a wonderful discussion. You got this conservative Republican attorney and John Nichols, who writes for The Nation, and they're basically saying, particularly Nichols, is saying, you know, this is a teachable moment. When we had the Watergate hearings, all of America tuned in the TV, and we started to learn at that moment, you know, what the rules were, who was breaking them, what the separation of powers is. And I thought he laid that out really well. John Nichols came and actually did a forum during my Democratic primary, mm-hmm. and we had a lot of the same issues out there discussing. And I think you're right. It's more about the issue of holding the hearings and allowing people to see, you know, what the role of the president is and what has gone wrong here. And there are true questions about whether the president has violated the law. I mean, I think many of us think that he has.
I don't consider them questions. I think they are, allegations that need to be proven.
Exactly. And I think it was a mistake of Speaker Pelosi to take that stand early on. And I think that people see that as a role of Congress, you know, mm-hmm. the oversight of the president. And
well, I would just love to see you in the Democratic caucus, because I believe that you can match the speaker in terms of political depth. and politeness. I mean, you're a really nice person, and it's not like you're going to go up to her and insult her or offend her, but I know that you have great powers of persuasion, and I just think that your sensibilities will be really welcome in the Democratic caucus.
Well, that's a very nice compliment, and I have respect for the leadership of Congress. People like Speaker Pelosi have been around a long time and know many, many things that I don't. But I do have the benefit of having been the majority leader of my own caucus in the main Senate. And, I know there are those times when you have to push your members where you have to go further than people, sort of think they can. And, I've always believed that we should go for the bold ideas. I think the public is energized when they hear us talking about bold solutions. They like to have an honest explanation of what our challenges are, and they like to be engaged. They don't want to be dismissed and treated like people who don't really understand what's going on.
Let's talk to Dave in Eureka, one of my stalwarts. Dave, you're on with Shelley Pingree.
Hey, Peter. Shelley, I like to ask everybody I can that's involved with Congress or a candidate for it how they feel about voting machines, how they feel about neocon abuses of their high-tech powers, how they feel about election fraud. Do you have any thoughts on the subject?
She's got a lot of thoughts.
I have lots of thoughts, and I really appreciate the question.
And Shelley, I just have to limit you to 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. When I was the national president of Common Cause, we fought for far more oversight of our electronic voting machines and our voting process. I'm deeply worried about this election. Just as in 2004, we lost by very few votes in the state of Ohio, where election laws are not very progressive, and I think we could find ourselves in the same trouble again. So I'm deeply concerned about all these issues, and I think people just tend to take our election system for granted, and they shouldn't.
ShelleyPingree.com. Support her run for Congress from Maine. Shelley, best wishes to you. Thanks for joining us today.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for all your good work, and good luck at the convention.
Come on out to California and raid the ATM.
I'm on it. Take care.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Why does Georgia matter? One guess. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Russia has declared mission accomplished in the Republic of Georgia and offered a ceasefire.
First, Georgian troops have to return to their pre-war positions and be partially disarmed. Second, the two sides need to sign a binding agreement not to use force.
Very generous. No mention of regime change. Yet, anyway. But Georgia's U.N. ambassador thinks that's coming.
All along, this was their aim, that goal to change the democratically elected government of Georgia.
But why is a skirmish in a small country that a lot of people still confuse with a large southern state such a big deal? Well, because Georgia's one of those fledgling democracies that we want to protect. And because it is a fledgling democracy that just happens to play host to two oil pipelines. Two pipelines with a very special feature. They move oil from the rich oil fields of the Caspian Sea to the west without going through either Russia or Iran. The longest of the two is the BTC pipeline, which carries that oil all the way to the Mediterranean through Turkey. And by a strange coincidence, it was attacked by Kurdish rebels in eastern Turkey and closed down just before the fighting with Russia started. The other pipeline has now also been closed down as a precaution. Russia has worried for a long time that the U.S. might have too keen an interest in defending those pipelines, enough to turn Georgia into an anti-Russian Western puppet. We know we'd never do that, but Russia isn't so sure. Just a reminder that even as gas prices drop, petroleum continues to be a very expensive form of energy in more ways than one. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network Firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network Firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Doing
business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Fritti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood, pasta, and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Fritti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Fritti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to FrittiDiMarGrill.com or call 384-8525.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
As you know, on my Formica table, impeachment always been on the table. As we concluded the last segment, we were talking with Shelley Pingree, Democratic candidate for Congress in Maine, about impeachment. And during the break, I read the latest dispatch from Jason Leopold at the Public Record. And Jason will join us here in just a moment. But I encourage you to drop by pubrecord.org and read this for yourself. And Jason, what you have written about here is an encounter that Nancy Pelosi, who's on a book tour, had in Los Angeles on Monday. And it's very interesting. What I wanted to share with you and my listeners is at this hour, Nancy Pelosi is on her way to a speaking event about 3 miles from my studio. And 3 weeks ago, I know some of the people in her media office at the speaker's complex there in the Capitol. And I called and put in a request to have the speaker on the show. I said she could call in on her way to speak at Dominican University, or it's only 3 miles away. I'd love it if she stopped by on the way. And I was treated to silence. There was no response. At one point, I called to follow up, and they referred me to Doubleday, the publisher of her book, and said, well, you got to get on that schedule. And my efforts to get the attention of the publicist there were unsuccessful over the last couple of days. And I say this not because I, you know, personally feel entitled to an interview with the speaker, but I've known her for over 20 years. And as some listeners know, I worked as a campaign consultant for her in 1996. So, you know, we're not strangers.
Yeah.
And she has agreed to come on the program very briefly on two occasions. One is the minority leader, and once since she was elected speaker. But it was always very last minute and a maximum of 5 minutes or so.
Right.
And I think that she is in an awkward position now, as the events in Los Angeles on Monday that you're about to tell us about will describe for people. But here she is trying to promote a book during an election year. And she's agreeing to these kind of carefully constructed public appearances,
right,
where a moderator delivers the questions. It's not a town hall meeting where she interacts directly with the public. And you got to pay $30 and buy a book in order to witness a conversation with the speaker.
Exactly. And it was very, well, first let me just actually go back and say that I experienced the same sort of, I'm going to use the word stonewalling from her office regarding, you know, the interview. I requested one as well, and they basically said that, you know, it's absolutely off limits. You know, they told me that that in fact she was not going to discuss anything that you know, revolved around politics, and was not even doing, you know, the Los interviews with the Los Angeles Times or other you know, bigger media. So therefore, you know, she would they would not consider me. If I wanted to, you know, write about the book, I could contact her publisher's office and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, instead we just bought some tickets to her appearance just to, you know, sort of get an idea of what she was going to discuss. But I agree with you. I think that, first of all, the idea that she's promoting a book, and it's a book that is You Know Your Power, which I think is sort of ironic, at a time when, you know, we're hearing about some of the worst constitutional violations, or, you know, what appear to be the worst constitutional violations, you know, new evidence surfacing every other day, it seems to be, you know, misplaced. Certainly, just the timing couldn't be worse. So, you know, when we went over to the American University of Judaism in West Los Angeles yesterday, and I have to say that I was actually struck by I guess you could say the genuine passion that people had who were out there demonstrating, who were actually protesting. I mean, you know, the reason that I was so surprised was that, you know, she's the Democratic Speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I felt that, you know, perhaps people's anger or perhaps the public, their anger was sort of, you know, mostly directed at the Bush administration. But people are truly, truly angry with Nancy Pelosi. And after last night's discussion, particularly the incidents that took place inside the auditorium, I understand why.
Well, you know, and let's go into some detail here, because I've never met Peter Tottum, but he is a 9/11 truth activist who put me on a mailing list, an email list, a couple of months back. And so I know who he is. I just have never met him. And he was permitted to ask a question. Is that right?
No, that's actually it's wrong. There were no questions allowed.
I see.
This was a, you know, well orchestrated, as you said earlier, discussion that was going to revolve around her book. The moderator, Rabbi Robert Wexler of American University of Judaism, he started to he switched gears a bit, which I have to say I was really surprised, because he switched gears from, you know, her upbringing, her father's role and impact on her career, to Congress's historically low approval rating, that 9% rating that the Rasmussen poll showed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Nancy Pelosi started to, you know, she started to go back and forth between, you know, the reason that it's really important to elect Barack Obama, the massive constitutional violations, and those are her words, that, you know, took place and continue to take place under this administration, the reasons that Democrats couldn't end the war. It got to the point where she, you know, was just being disingenuous, just absolutely disingenuous, if you followed, you know, her public statements. And so this individual, Peter Tottum, just stood up, and it was an outburst. This was,
I mean,
spoke loudly, and, you know, to the point where I was sitting way in the back, Peter, and I was stunned, just because there was that much silence in there when he just stood up. So, you know, I believe that her statements, her real disingenuous statements on, you know, what she believes, you know, needs to be done in order to repair the damage that this administration has caused. Just angered people. It really got them angry. And this was anger that was, you know, pure passion and genuine, you know, people being genuinely upset that here you have somebody who has the ability to go beyond, you know, the press releases and the hearings to actually get her hands dirty, but was totally unwilling to do that. I mean, you could not come away from that discussion yesterday with any other impression than Nancy Pelosi has total disdain for the people, you know, whether they're her constituents or not, who approach her and who talk about impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
She has nothing but disdain for those people. You know, there were several other outbursts, and it got to the point where Nancy Pelosi was visibly angry at a member of the activist group Code Pink, who stood up and was not as loud as Peter Todd, from the LA impeachment movement.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this activist from Code Pink held up some, you know, various books that have been written in the past year that appear to have, you know, evidence of you know, constitutional violations. And Nancy Pelosi just got so angry that, you know, she started speaking with her hands, almost like pointing. We have that on a video on her, you know, on her website, which, you know, we had to sneak in a camera in order to capture this. And, you know, she said that, "I'm the Speaker of the House. I take an oath to uphold the Constitution, and I take my job very seriously." And, you know, she sort of directed those who disagreed with her to, you know, go ask Republicans why they, you know, why they've thwarted our efforts to, you know, to hold a vote on, you know, ending the war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I've been covering the activities that's been going on in Congress for quite a while to know that, you know, that's absolutely disingenuous. I mean, I'm just going to use that word again, and you and I have had this discussion, and you made a good point of saying that, you know, perhaps as early as March there was some sort of backroom deal going on.
Yeah.
In which, you know, in exchange for some domestic issues, you know, they would hand the White House another blank check.
Well, and clearly the calculation is that they want to win by having the war as an unresolved issue that Democrats
right.
can deal with. Unfortunately, the Maliki government is booting us out in a way that kind of, you know, removes any initiative from Americans in terms of ending the occupation of Iraq.
Right.
Still, the calculation there is pretty clear. And one of the things I talked with Shelley Pingree about, you know, she's the former president of Common Cause, is that, sure, I'd like to see a Democratic sweep, and then we've got one party rule of just a different color.
Right, exactly.
And that can be...
And you know, the thing I also want to impress upon your listeners is that this was a 75-minute, between, you know, 75 and 80-minute discussion, and it wasn't until halfway through that, you know, she started, Nancy Pelosi started saying things that just, you know, that just did not was not supported by the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people throughout were quiet and somewhat bored, I would say, just by the, you know, the discussion. But it wasn't until, you know, she started talking about, you know, how defending her job, defending, you know, her tenure as Speaker, defending, you know, what she had done and what she was trying to do, and just more or less, you know, blowing off the reality or just ignoring the reality.
Mm-hmm.
About what has taken place. I mean, you know, listen, just last week there's a brand new book that came out that suggests that there was a, you know, that the White House ordered the CIA to forge a letter to create some sort of link between Iraq and 9/11 to justify the invasion. So it's those, you know, those pieces of evidence,
mm-hmm.
Or facts that were so fresh in everyone's mind that, you know, Nancy Pelosi, as Speaker of the House, just chose to ignore. I mean, she, you know, she made it a point to say that, you know, I take my job seriously. First it's the president, then it's the vice president, then it's the speaker. But I really, really believe that, you know, and I was reading her body language, but she just, not only does she oppose impeachment, she just doesn't like, you know, she doesn't like the people who represent that movement. She does not...
Well, it is very interesting, Jason, because just 15 years ago, she was a champion of human rights for China and annually opposed the most favored nation status and coalesced with very left groups in pursuit of that goal. Now that she's the insider and on top, things are very different. Let's take our break. And, Jason, during the break, I'll talk to you about the video, and we'll see if we can play part of that as we return. 888-5 Peter B., if you'd like to make a comment, 888-573-8372. We'll air this out further in the Free Speech Zone next hour, too, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA and very quiet right now. Ben Lomond, our only problem being reported by the CHP. This is Love Creek Road at Central Avenue. We had reports of a car on fire. Fire department is on the scene hosing that down, so shouldn't be creating much of a problem way up there. Highway 9, Congress Springs Lane. We had reports of a two-car crash in the lanes. That's actually been cleared out of the way. They're just waiting for a couple of tow trucks to arrive. Getting reports at 101 southbound as you head from South San Jose into Morgan Hill. Actually very light this afternoon. Highway 17, no stalls, no accidents to tell you about, but you do have the usual slowing once you get to the fish hook in Santa Cruz. This traffic report is brought to you by FlexYourPower.org. FlexYourPower.org reminds you to save energy, money, and the planet because the fight against global warming has just begun. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
July 20th, 1969, Neil Armstrong stepped onto the moon.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
25 years ago, we played the message back in reverse. Man will spacewalk. Today, 39 years later, we still don't ask who designed the English language so that there is this phenomena of reverse speech. This Saturday at 9 p.m., the Bob Oliver Quantum Leap on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 10 minutes in front of the hour, talking with Jason Leopold, investigative reporter and the founder of PubRecord.org. That's the Public Record, a new nonprofit investigative journalism website. And we're in cahoots. Jason and I are doing some joint fundraising to help us cover our costs for the Democratic National Convention. So if you make a contribution at PubRecord.org or if you go to PeterBCollins.com, there are several ways you can assist, and we certainly appreciate appreciate your help. Lots of people have stepped up already, and I'm very grateful. Now, Jason, I've loaded the video here that people can also see for themselves at your website, pubrecord.org, and let's listen to a little bit of this exchange as Peter Totem shouts out a question without being recognized. A heckler is what we would call that, but he's on my side, so I just call it a provocative act. Who gave you the right to take the Constitution and stuff it down the toilet, take impeachment off the table? And now a security guard is hustling him. He was in the front row or close to it. So it looks like here, Jason, that she doesn't respond to Totem. She says, oh, we'll take some questions that have been written down by audience members. Is that it?
Well, she actually says, if you leave them for me, I'll get to them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, totally dismissive. I mean, it was, you know, certainly it was, this was a private event. You know, I think that she was looking to just appease, you know, the audience, appease, obviously, you know, certain individuals of the audience.
Yeah.
And then we moved to the Code Pink activist who, you know, just it basically asked her to brush up on her reading.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, you know, Nancy Pelosi started to really, you know, express herself.
All right, let me pull that. I think I've got that now. So here's a woman in pink holding up a book. The audience is applauding to her question. So here Pelosi deigns a response to the interjection. And this is where you describe her as really getting visibly upset, Jason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Let's take a call here. George from Oregon. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Jason Leopold.
Hello, Peter and Jason.
Hey, George.
Peter, about 3 weeks ago, if memory serves, you had Elizabeth Holtzman on.
That's right.
And during the course of your discussion with her, you asked her if she had an explanation for why Pelosi was so recalcitrant.
Yeah.
And my recollection is that she said she thought, she, Elizabeth Holtzman, just thought that Nancy Pelosi didn't understand the impeachment process very well. I believe that Nancy Pelosi's answer to the 10 questions in time, when she said, well, to talk about impeachment, you have to talk about facts, and to talk about facts, you have to have a cooperative administration, reveals clearly that she does not understand impeachment, and I'm wondering if either of you agrees with that, and if so, what could be done about it?
Well, I don't think she's ignorant. I think she is, she's playing a role, and I don't quite understand it myself, because it has led to having the knees kicked out from under her repeatedly. And you know, fundamentally, I believe Nancy Pelosi wants to end the occupation of Iraq, and that she doesn't have the votes in her caucus and has a stonewalling White House. But that does not excuse the available methods. As we were discussing with Shelley Pingree earlier, there is this inspired inaction. And by the way, Jason reports in his article something that I missed from Larry King Live on Monday, where Pelosi is lifting her opposition
exactly.
And is going to allow a vote on offshore drilling, on lifting the ban
yeah.
to occur in the House.
Yeah,
now,
you know,
we saw this inaction, which is what I wanted, and that is the prerogative of the Speaker. And for whatever reason, she refuses to use that power. And I find it infuriating. Jason?
Yeah, I, you know, again, dropping her opposition to the offshore drilling, and just, you know, I really spent a lot of time yesterday looking at her past public statements regarding impeachment. And as I said, I want to emphasize this again. She absolutely understands impeachment, I believe.
Yeah.
However, she totally just does not support it. Will not come out directly and say, you know, I don't care what evidence you have, we're not doing impeachment. She, you know, she cares about votes.
Yeah.
She clearly cares about votes. Votes are very important to her, and, you know, she cares about ensuring that the Democrats have a majority than Republicans. I think that every other answer she's giving is just, you know, is just a way for her to, you know, avoid actually infuriating people, probably, to the point where, you know, if she were to say, I don't care what these guys did. We're not doing that. We're not doing it. I mean, in the article I write how she said, you know, they're gone in 100 days anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was her answer. That was just a direct quote. Yeah,
well, and again, the political calculus here appears to be that it might disrupt the power aspirations of Pelosi and the Democrats in terms of a bigger majority in the House, up to 60 votes in the Senate, and a Democrat in the White House. And they believe that that is worth passing on impeachment, passing on ending the Iraqi occupation this year, and a few other things like FISA. And frankly, I find that deeply offensive. George, thank you for your call today. We're going to talk more about this in the Free Speech Zone coming up next hour. And I'm in email communication with Peter Totem. We'll see if we can get him on the phone before the end of the program today, too. Jason, just about 20 seconds remaining. What would you like to add about this episode?
Well, you know, I mean, lastly, I think that I just want to emphasize Dennis Kucinich, who said that, you know, you're reducing Congress to a debating society and setting a terrible precedent for future administrations by avoiding accountability.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir, thank you for a great report and another excellent outing here on the program. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Peter. Take care.
Jason Leopold, read it and see the video. Look at it for yourself at pubrecord.org. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Nick Tanum is taking your calls today, and we'll take them in the Free Speech Zone as soon as Melanie Sloan gives us a report from Washington to kick things off in the next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. In Tbilisi, Georgia, at least 150,000 people gathered to cheer President Mikhail Saakashvili, who vows to punish Russia for its military offensive. But for now, Saakashvili says he accepts the ceasefire terms negotiated by French President Sarkozy. It remains to be seen whether the deal will hold. Fighting in some areas continued today, and Russian President Dmitry Medvedev ordered the military to destroy any emerging hotbeds of resistance. In Washington,
we are reviewing our options for humanitarian and reconstruction assistance to Georgia. But the most important thing right now is that these military operations need to stop.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, to protest Russia's aggression, the Bush administration has reportedly decided to pull out of joint naval exercises in the Pacific that were scheduled to begin next week. Was Georgia encouraged to provoke the bear? CBS News reporter Phil Itner is in Tbilisi.
Some Georgians that I've spoken to today say that they do feel let down by the West, especially by the U.S., and that in light of the fact that Georgia has been so active in the Iraq war effort, they feel that in return, the U.S. really hasn't stepped up to the plate in Georgia's time of need.
Until this crisis, Georgia had 2,000 troops in Iraq. The rising dollar and a big drop in demand have combined to bring oil prices down. Crude settled at $113 a barrel today. How long might this trend continue? CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv takes a look at a new government report.
The consumption drop is just over 2% this year, according to the federal government's Energy Information Administration, also giving its monthly forecast for prices. Oil expected to go up a little to $124 per barrel next year. As for gasoline, national average now $3.81, down 30 cents in 1 month. This forecast says gas could drop by another couple of pennies per gallon in the months ahead. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
Look for food prices to fall. The Agriculture Department says farmers recovered nicely from the Midwest floods. They replanted. Now they're on track to produce the second largest corn crop in U.S. history. You'll remember the crime at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Now CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula reports the defendant has pleaded guilty to first-degree attempted murder.
After he drove a rented SUV into a group of students on the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill campus, in March of 2006, Mohammad Tari Azhar said his motive was to avenge Muslim deaths at the hands of the U.S. around the world. None of the nine students who were hit had to be hospitalized.
Tari Azhar could face up to 80 years in prison. Stocks lower today. The Dow Industrial's down 139 points to 11,642. The Nasdaq lost 9 points to close at 2430. This is CBS News.
Who's excited for our big road trip?
I'm excited to hear you say bad words when we get lost again.
Now, son, Mommy got Daddy a Garmin Nuvi 780 for Father's Day. Nuvi 780 has preloaded maps so Daddy will never get lost again. And Daddy got this neat subscription to MSN Direct so we can avoid traffic delays, get local weather, and gas prices.
Will you honk the horn with your head again?
It's a new day, son. It's a Garmin Nuvi day.
To receive MSN Direct content, you must be within its coverage area. For details, navigate to Garmin.com. Follow the leader.
Great moments in summer games history from Tiger Balm.
In 1984, American Joan Benoit convincingly won gold in the first ever women's marathon competition. You, on the other hand, ran out of breath after two blocks, tripped over your dog, and strained the arch of your left foot.
Oh!
Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. A 100-year pain relief formula trusted by people around the world. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
Nearly two decades after the Exxon Valdez disaster, the legal battle drags on. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has the latest.
The Supreme Court says a lower court must decide how much interest ExxonMobil must pay for the 1989 Alaska oil spill. In June, it slashed the company's punitive damages bill from $2.5 billion to about a $500 million maximum. The company wanted the justices to dramatically cut its interest liability as well. The High Court did order spill victims to pay $14,000 in court and printing costs to ExxonMobil, which made a record $11.6 billion last quarter.
Atomic bombs had just obliterated Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but Japan's leader in World War II saw no reason to surrender. In newly released pages from Hideki Tojo's diary, he accuses his colleagues of easily throwing up their hands and being frightened by the new bomb. Tojo only reluctantly went along with the decision to surrender in 1945. He was executed for war crimes 3 years later. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more? Let the IRS veterans at Effector help stop levies and wage garnishment. We can help you get your life back in order. Our ex-IRS agents have over 100 years combined experience in IRS collection tactics. Get a free consultation and put our team of experts between you and the IRS. Call 800-536-9092. That's 800-536-9092. 800-536-9092.
Hi, I'm the director of a medical center that just added Aflac to the benefits we provide for our employees. It's been a very welcome addition. With Aflac, our benefits package is more like a bundle of joy. In fact, everyone at the hospital can sleep easy knowing we have...
Aflac, Aflac, Aflac.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Mm-hmm.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show because the alternative to me is psychotherapy, and that's expensive. We're launching into the free speech zone this hour. Your calls and comments welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere.
Yeah, there's a storm on the loose. Sirens in my head. Wrapped up in science, our circuits are dead. Can I be cold? My whole life spins into a great bed.
And to get you even more stirred up, we get a report from Washington right now. Melanie Sloan is Executive Director of CREW. That stands for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Their website is citizensforethics.org. Melanie, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Peter. Nice to be here.
And I see some breaking news here at your website. A panel of judges in a split decision has dismissed the case of Joe and Valerie Wilson, the civil suit against Vice President Cheney and other people in the White House, past and present. And this was the civil suit to try to get to the bottom of the exposure of Valerie Plame Wilson, who was previously a covert CIA operative. And
right. This
is a disappointing development.
This is a very disappointing development, although I have to say not totally shocking, because we're in a very conservative circuit, and Chief Judge David Sentelles wrote the opinion, is an incredibly conservative judge, and he wrote the opinion, and basically it says that the Wilsons don't, there's no cause of action that they have that would allow them to sue for the violations of their constitutional rights. And the really surprising thing to us about this opinion is it says that the Wilsons should have sued under something called the Privacy Act. But the Privacy Act is an act that can only be used by government employees. So it would never have worked for Joe Wilson anyway, because he wasn't a government employee. And then it also says then also you can't use the Privacy Act against White House officials. So given that that's who they were trying to sue, for the court to say, well, you should have sued under the Privacy Act, which Joe Wilson can't use and which wouldn't have applied to Cheney, Rove, and Libby, it's saying basically you have no cause of action. So there was a dissenting judge, Judge Judith Rogers, who said exactly that you've now left this really egregious conduct unanswered. You're saying there's no remedy for this terrible behavior, and she thought that there should have been a cause of action. The case should have been allowed to proceed. We will now file an appeal asking for what we call a rehearing en banc, which is to ask for the entire panel of judges. Generally, when you have an appellate case, a panel is made of three judges. Now we'll ask for the whole D.C. Circuit to hear it. But I have to admit our chances aren't great.
Well, and this is kind of insulting. I mean, I've always been told that free advice, you know, you get what you pay for. But free legal advice from a court of appeals, you would think, would have some value. And this is just insulting to say, oh, you should have sued under the Privacy Act when, you know, right on its face, it would not apply.
Yes, it's completely ludicrous. I mean, to say that you should have sued under this, but this, even if you sued under it, it wouldn't apply anyway. So even, you know, even if we had done exactly what the D.C. Circuit is suggesting here, it wouldn't have meant that we won today. So that's the problem with that. It would have meant that Cheney, Rove, and Libby can get away with this.
Yeah.
And that's what this court is saying. And, you know, the real the reason that people should be concerned is whether or not, you know, whatever feelings anybody might have about Joe and Valerie Wilson, this means that the executive branch, top White House officials, are free not only to out CIA operatives, they could take your or my tax returns and plaster them all over the Internet, and they could say they could do that, because they could say any violation of anybody's privacy, they're allowed to do that, and there's no cause of action. There's no constitutional remedy.
Well, and I think it's even more important now because Scott McClellan's book gave us, I think, some pretty strong leads. And if McClellan were deposed or required to testify, he would tell the story of how the president expressed to him that he knew some of the details of the outing of Valerie Plame and that he had taken certain steps to authorize the declassification of information to enable that process. So this is not a, you know, a few bad apples at the lower level kind of thing. This rises to the very top of this administration, and this court is protecting them.
It does. And again, you know, something that is just so problematic here is it means future administrations should feel free to play politics with our national security. They can treat it like it's a game.
Yeah. Melanie Sloan from Crew with us in another disappointing episode with the Attorney General, Michael Mukasey, who carries the title judge, but his idea of justice is far different from mine. He gave a speech to the American Bar Association earlier today in New York. And he basically said that he's not going to pursue investigations or prosecutions of those who criminally or improperly, let me withdraw the word criminally, who improperly use political tests in hiring decisions. This is the case of Monica Goodling, but it really applies to the whole effort to politicize the Justice Department that unfortunately was quite successful under first Ashcroft and to a greater degree Alberto Gonzalez.
Right. Now, first, let me just start off with that I am no fan of Michael Mukasey's, and I don't think he's doing all that great a job as Attorney General. But I do think that he's getting a little bit of a bum rap here on this particular issue, because the problem is with what Monica Goodling did and what Kyle Sampson did, all of the things they did, they violated civil service rules, but they didn't violate criminal law.
No.
And so what Michael Mukasey is saying that there is they didn't violate a criminal statute under which they can be prosecuted. So it's not as if he's saying there's a criminal law they violated and we're not going to prosecute them anyway. There actually wasn't one. And that is also what Glenn Fine, the Inspector General of the Department of Justice, and H. Marshall Jarrett, the head of the Office of Professional Responsibility, found, that these people violated civil service statute saying you're not allowed to use political considerations in hiring, but violating those civil service statutes is only a problem for people who are in the federal government. So they could be fired if they were in the federal government. They could have sanctions if they were in government employees. But the fact that these people are all out of the federal government, they didn't commit crimes. Nothing's in the criminal code. So it's very hard for the Department of Justice to go after them now.
I'm edified by your comment. Nonetheless, I'm troubled by the Attorney General's, here's a quote, "Where there's enough evidence to charge someone with a crime, we vigorously prosecute. But not every wrong or even every violation of the law is a crime." I'd like to hear him expand on that. So he went on to say that doesn't mean, as some people have suggested, that those officials who were found by joint reports to have committed misconduct have suffered no consequences. Far from it. The officials most directly implicated in the misconduct left the department to the accompaniment of substantial negative publicity. Now, that's the end of his quote. They left, and they're being rewarded in the private sector for their connections and their political abilities to stifle investigations.
Right, and of course I think that's terrible too. I mean, we, for example, over at Crew, filed bar complaints against some of these people, like Esther McDonald and Michael Elston, who are also involved in this. And it's my understanding that Glenn Fine also sent the information about Monica Goodling over to the Bar Association. What should really happen to all of these people is they should lose their license to practice law. Hopefully they'll be publicly reviled and shamed and can never get another job again.
Mm-hmm. Now, Melanie, one more item today, and that is that Ralph Reed is a former political operator and evangelical who's now just, I guess, a political operator. But he was a close friend of Jack Abramoff. And in Thomas Frank's new book, The Wrecking Crew, he details in excruciating detail some of the efforts by Abramoff and his political cronies, including Reed, over the years. And over time, they became more and more corrupt. And Reed, in fact, was playing one Indian tribe off another, and he and Jack Abramoff were fleecing them in various ways. And this drew the attention of one John McCain, who did a little investigation into the connection between Jack Abramoff and Ralph Reed, And now we learn that Ralph Reed is hosting a fundraiser for John McCain. That should prevent any future investigations.
Right, this is actually my favorite story of today. and this is because this is just really too much fun for words. So John McCain likes to take so much credit for the Abramoff investigation. He's always telling us about how he's the guy who took down Abramoff, and he's the guy who went after the lobbyists, and Scott and Ralph Reed, who is just, you know, just this short of evil incarnate in my book, who was this evangelical Christian who was busy selling out his fellow evangelicals for a lot of money to help some tribes have gambling rather than others. And there's a ton of email to back this up.
Okay.
Ralph Reed has hated John McCain for making all this information public. And, in fact, Ralph Reed lost his race for lieutenant governor of Georgia in 2006, largely because of his hypocrisy in the Jack Abramoff scandal. So it is just a question, given that now McCain is going to go to a fundraiser held by Reed, who exactly is the bigger hypocrite? Reed, who hates McCain with everything he's worth, or McCain, who hates Reed and fed him to the wolves during the Abramoff scandal?
Well, it was this reconnection probably was mediated by one of the agents of intolerance. Like, you know.
It was probably mediated by none other than Grover Norquist, who's close to both of them, who has also hated McCain for years but has kissed and made up because the thought of an Obama presidency scares him to death. But you just really have to wonder if McCain can go to a fundraiser held by Ralph Reed today, do we suppose maybe Jack Abramoff's wife will hold one for him next week?
Well, and maybe Ralph Reed will permit some oil drilling in his backyard.
Yeah.
Melanie, thank you very much. You're busy, and it's not going to get any better, is it?
Sadly, Peter, no.
Okay. We'll talk to you again next week. Melanie right, Sloan at CREW. C-R-E-W stands for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Their website, citizensforethics.org. Straight ahead, we open up the phone lines to hear from you in the Free Speech Zone. You want to talk about Pelosi passing on impeachment and the courage of Peter Tottum to stand up and ask a question at that session in Los Angeles on Monday? I'd be delighted to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B. Lines are open right now. That's 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117. Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We do have a problem for you in Pajaro right now. It's an injury crash associated lane at Salinas Road. Looks like a vehicle may have hit a pedestrian there. Emergency crews definitely on the way to check up on that. CHP is on the scene. Northbound 101 on the Laurel Drive off-ramp in Salinas. We have someone panhandling off to the right-hand shoulder. Drive with caution there. Dolan Road at Castroville Boulevard. Heads up, CHP says 5 to 6 kids running around the lanes there. And northbound 101 before Market Street in Salinas, we do have a stalled out car. Looks like it's just off to the shoulder, maybe just a visual hazard. This is brought to you by FlexYourPower.org, who reminds you to save energy, money, and the planet because the fight against global warming has just begun. Now, if you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open for the rest of this hour. I have put in a call to Peter Totem, the Los Angeles attorney who stood up unauthorized and challenged Nancy Pelosi about impeachment in Los Angeles on Monday. So we may hear from him before the end of the hour. If not, we'll invite him to join us tomorrow on the show. But I welcome your calls, any topic, any viewpoint, from anywhere in the sound of my voice. Got three lines open, so take one, and it'll be yours. 888-573-8372. And please don't wait till the end of the hour. It always jams up then, and people get frustrated when you don't get on the air. 888-573-8372. And one more time, I want to thank all the people who have helped with contributions to underwrite the expenses of our live broadcast from the Democratic National Convention less than 2 weeks away. Still need more money, though, to cover airfare and technical costs in Denver. So if you can help, please do. If you can't, no guilt. I'm a guilt-free guy. But if you're in a position to even cough up 10 or 20 bucks, go to peterbcollins.com. And look for the link at the top of the homepage that says you can help. Terry in Monterey, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Peter, I was reluctant to call you within another time in the same month, but
Come on. You can call as often as you like. I'm not touchy about
you're
that.
You're tolerant. Pelosi's dereliction of duty regarding the impeachment process.
Mm-hmm.
Tragically, I have debated the guilt of the what I call the Cheney-Bush maladministration and the criminal conduct that has us in Iraq, among other things. And conservative Republicans and even political moderates that will listen to my point of view, they come back with this rationalization that if Pelosi had any evidence, real convincing factual evidence against Bush and Cheney, she wouldn't have hesitated to bring it. But she must have, in fact, they argue to me, less than there was to bring Bill Clinton to impeachment.
Oh, man.
And I'm serious. Her lack of backbone, integrity perhaps, and possible corruption technically, and her clear failure to own her own constitutional duties about seeing that the laws are faithfully executed, is used, as I say, by people to rationalize that, gee, they must not have a case. And that point I want to lead with you, and I wish we could have gotten Jason's reaction to it.
Sure.
Hopefully we'll ask Mr. Totem how he reacts if that isn't part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, Terry, I mean, it's so obvious, and for her at this late stage to be claiming that there's insufficient evidence is just bullsh. That's all it is. And I commend the Code Pink person who was not authorized to speak at the L.A. auditorium and stood up and held up several books that, you know, know, clearly state the case.
Oh, of course.
And let me be clear. I'm not Nancy Grace, okay? She convicted the Duke lacrosse team on television, and I am not about to convict anybody on radio. But the evidence, the probable cause, the underlying material to support articles of impeachment, which Dennis Kucinich has served the nation well by introducing, that is very clear. And for her to pretend that, you know, they have successfully secreted all the evidence and that we simply can't access it, it's not true.
Tragically, people are rationalizing stupidly or otherwise that therefore there isn't a case against Bush and Cheney, and she's letting that happen. I am going to do everything I can to have Ms. Sheehan replace her in the Congress.
Well, you're welcome to do that, and, you know, it's interesting because I have spoken up about my sensibility, and it is that Nancy Pelosi can't be beaten, all right? And that the metrics of that San Francisco district, the vote total, she routinely gets 88% of the vote. And there's no base for an independent to run from. There's also no significant Republican registration in San Francisco. And that's why, reluctantly, I don't embrace Cindy Sheehan's run, only because I'd rather see people put energy into races that are winnable and that would bring more progressives to the Congress. And I also feel that just politically, it isn't wise to open up a flank on Pelosi's left because there's really no benefit, in my view, politically, to going in that direction.
How about a congressional censure requiring that she step down as Speaker?
Well, I understand the anger that people have. If she steps down as Speaker, we get Steny Hoyer. And I'm sorry, he actually is worse.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And so when you go down the food chain of the leadership in the House, and I'm not trying to rationalize or make excuses for Pelosi. I am deeply disappointed, particularly on FISA, particularly on impeachment. These are two inexcusable moves on her part. That said, I think the best way is to put people like Shelley Pingree into the Congress, because she can get right in Nancy Pelosi's face in a very polite way and let her know that she, Shelley Pingree, supports real people and not just the power structure of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, you prompted me to send Shelley a contribution, by the way. She sounds like a fantastic prospective member of Congress.
Oh, she is terrific, and she did a great job at Common Cause. I think the world of her. So thank you, Terry, for opening up your wallet.
Good work, Peter.
All right, we'll do. More of your calls coming up next. Their line's open. Let me know what's on your mind. At 888-5-PETER-B, 1-888-573-8372. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Fryer Tuck's Restaurant in Carmel, corner of 5th and Dolores and next to the post office, serves outstanding breakfast and lunch from 7 a.m. Get a full 20% off coupon at FryerTucksRestaurant.com. Come in early for the largest breakfast served in Carmel. Stay late and enjoy the best root beer float I ever had. Thank you, Fryer Tuck's, for 30 years of family enjoyment. Fryer Tuck's, great food, great fun.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow.
Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping.
Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll try to provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your co-host, along with Mark Leonard. We try to look at current issues from a unique angle and invite our listeners to call in and bring their own different perspective on contemporary affairs. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Lines open for you right now in the free speed zone, 888-5-PETER-B.
Well, I'm...
I remember in the late 70s, Tom Petty broke on the scene, and they thought Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were a punk rock act. Mainstream rock from Gainesville, Florida. We're in the free speech zone, and I've got lines available. Let me know what's on your mind, particularly about this incident with Nancy Pelosi. She's on a book tour, and if you just joined us, Jason Leopold broke the story. And you can read about it at his website, pubrecord.org. But Pelosi appeared on Monday in Los Angeles. She is promoting a book that she has written called Know Your Power, A Message to America's Daughters. And these are carefully structured events with a moderator. And the moderators, to their credit, have asked some difficult questions. But Pelosi wasn't expecting a Los Angeles attorney and activist named Peter Tottam, T-H-O-T-T-A-M, to just stand up and blurt out a question. And we played the video for you earlier. You can find that, too, at pubrecord.org. And I did leave a message on Peter's cell phone. Peter Tottam says that he is in Chicago now and will be there for the rest of this week. But he just sent out a dispatch. I'm on a email list that he sends to quite often. And the subject line reads, I was arrested last night at Pelosi's book signing event.
trespassing charges slash heckling, spent the night in jail, would do it again. And he writes, for the record, I do not plan to ever commit suicide ever. And I'm not sure what that's a reference to, but I'll just lay it out there because he did. He writes, what is going on in this country? Much on my mind. The U.S. economy is clearly imploding. Up and down the major commercial streets in L.A., Melrose, Wilshire, Lincoln, for lease and for sale signs everywhere. Their martial law infrastructure, legal technological, is now in place. Second false flag, now an inevitability. Russia, Brzezinski, China, Iran, Pakistan. The elements are lining up. It is so clear to those who are really paying attention. Well, very interesting, and I do hope to get to talk to Peter Totem about his activism and about his courage, and to support him in, well, spending that night in jail. I think he's a good American and not willing to just accept fascism in our midst. Harvey in Berkeley, you're next in the Free Speech Zone here on the PBC show.
How you doing, Peter B?
Okay, thanks.
Good. Well, today I'd like to discuss a hydrogen solar economy.
All right.
And, well, first of all, coal-fired oil, natural gas, and nuclear power plants use 136 billion gallons of fresh water daily in the production of electricity. Only agriculture uses more water in America every day.
And they warm that water in the process. No matter what the generation plant is, whether it's nuke, coal, or oil, that water leaves much hotter than it enters.
That's right. And right now, T. Boone Pickens wants to change all that, and he wants to derive 20% of America's energy needs from a hydrogen wind economy.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Pickens is very serious about this hydrogen-based economy. But there are serious problems because when hydrogen is stripped out of natural gas, which is what he wants to use, the process is not a clean process, and it does lead to more climate destabilization. On the other hand...
Well, and describe it for us, Harvey, because doesn't that process of extracting the hydrogen actually burn almost as much fuel in BTU terms as it creates?
Yes, and actually what I tell people to do is to go to Google and put in, say, burning natural gas and hydrogen and the word pollution and hit the research button, and all that information comes up. You could read it all right there for yourself, all the studies that are done for yourself. So, but on the other hand, a solar hydrogen economy is perfect for California, which is blessed with a tremendous amount of sunshine. And solar electric roof shingles and solar electric roof panels, first of all, use no water in the production of electricity.
Right.
And they would be used to perform electrolysis of water. And the hydrogen is stripped out of the water, and the oxygen goes into the atmosphere. And the hydrogen, first of all, if you Google the words cooking with hydrogen, it turns out that that hydrogen is a premier cooking fuel because it hydrates the food as it cooks it, like if you're cooking fish, or so everything turns out really good and fresh and hydrated and cooked. It doesn't dry out while cooking.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, when you cook with natural gas has a number of toxins in it as well as mercury. You can look that up. Google natural gas and mercury and read about it. And so I think that hydrogen is absolutely a better cooking fuel. Number two, furnaces can be modified to use hydrogen instead of natural gas to heat the home. Also, it turns out that they found around furnaces that it released mercury. There was mercury on the walls around furnaces. You can put into Google mercury, natural gas, and home heating again. All that stuff will come up.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, you can put the hydrogen through a fuel cell to create electricity at night. And actually, I heard the other day that there's something called the fuel cell store. I heard advertisements on the radio. So they're already starting to sell fuel cells for the home. And also, the fuel cell can make electricity for your electric car, which has batteries and electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So you can charge up your electric vehicle from the fuel cell. And at the same time, the byproduct of all this, both burning and putting hydrogen through a fuel cell, is water vapor. And this water vapor can be recollected and reused. It's actually pure water because it recombines hydrogen with the oxygen molecule, and the byproduct is actually pure water. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't get purer than that. So it's a very clean system, and I think that system, along with, just basically powering our electric cars off of our rooftops, but in this case, the powering our whole hydrogen essentially works as a battery at night. So you make the hydrogen during the day, and then you burn it and put it through a fuel cell at night to heat the home, to cook, and to make electricity. So it's a complete cycle, and it's a clean cycle. So I actually prefer that to T. Boone Pickens' idea, and I think that that utilities such as EBMUD can now provide us with clean, renewable electricity as well as water.
Mm-hmm. All right. Harvey, thanks for your points. I appreciate your call today.
Thank you.
You know a lot about that stuff, and I'm glad he's willing to share it. John in Carmel Valley, you're next here in the Free Speed Zone. Welcome.
Didn't somebody in the conversation earlier about Pelosi say she had just scoffed at by saying that there was only 100 days left to Bush anyway?
She did.
It's about 160 days if you were going to be a little bit more accurate, but that is way off when you consider that she made her now infamous statement about no impeachment on the table right as she ascended to the speakership. So it's now been almost 2 years since she's been impeding the whole process. But it isn't just this. These people are sore at her, as I am, not only because of impeding impeachment investigation, it's the whole bag. And in a sarcastic essay I've written about her, I have her saying that it's her goal to supply all the boxes of matches Boy George can possibly play with. That's what she's done. She's just given him the best last 2 years any president could have looked for. Anything he wants, she's got in store for him. Who can explain that?
Well, and what Jason reported from the Larry King show on Monday is that Pelosi has backed off from her pledge to block a vote on lifting the ban on offshore drilling. Now, John, maybe she knows that she has enough votes to block that once it goes to the floor. So it could be a calculating move on her part. But given all the other cave-ins, it's very hard to expect that at this stage of the game. And I do want to acknowledge you're correct. There are 161 days left for Bush and Cheney if they honor the Constitution and leave office next January. John, thanks a lot for your call today. We have reached Peter Tottum, who joins us, I believe, from Chicago. Peter, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. I might get cut off here. My cell phone's not that... battery's starting to run down.
Okay, well, we won't assume it's the Capitol Police, then, detaining you.
Oh, no. What an experience.
I want to just give you a little background so you don't have to retell the whole story, but Jason Leopold makes a weekly appearance on our show, and he was in the audience with a video camera and captured your exchange with Nancy Pelosi in Los Angeles on Monday, and you can find that at pubrecord.org. So we played parts of the video. We talked about the exchange, and Jason described Pelosi's reaction to you and the Code Pink person who held up some books asking her if she needed to catch up on her reading regarding impeachment. And first and foremost, Peter Tottum, I want to thank you because you put yourself on the line. You spent a night in jail to speak for all of us about this issue and about the sorrowful way that Nancy Pelosi has conducted these matters as Speaker.
Thanks, Peter. I appreciate that. I think I just expressed what hundreds of thousands, millions of people are wondering, which is what the hell is happening in this country. You know, the frustration with a obviously corrupt, dysfunctional Congress and the continuation of these lies and these excuses. You know, it's just become a ridiculous joke, and I'm fed up. I mean, I'm fed up. I know here in Los Angeles there are thousands of activists who have been actively engaged with the impeachment movement and with other movements, and the inability of Nancy Pelosi to act as a check, some sort of monitoring mechanism for a clearly out-of-control executive branch, unitary executive branch, you know, has just exposed how broken our system of government is. You had to be there in the audience, Peter. I mean, I can't even begin to explain. You know, she was up there on the stage talking for 40 minutes about her family's background. And what really took the cake was, you know, she said three separate times, how great her fellow congressional representatives were, you know, how they were a model of integrity and good behavior. And someone yelled out from the audience, all of them. And she said, no, maybe there are 50 out of the 460 that aren't exemplary. But, you know, by and large, they're all great people. And, you know, what do you say to that? I mean, you have a system where the elites, the political elites, are so out of touch with the reality of what's going on in the streets of cities throughout this country, and the impression that the Bush regime has left on the world, the dysfunctionality of our government with respect to the elections. You know, I really think at some fundamental level that the systemic problems are irreparable, and many of us are grappling with what to do.
Well, and we, in my view, are clearly creeping toward fascism. And Pelosi has to be held as an enabler, if not a participant.
Absolutely.
In the Patriot Act, the renewal of the Patriot Act, the no-knock and these national security letters, essentially do-it-yourself warrants that the FBI itself acknowledges have been widely abused. Then there's FISA. Then there is the funding for the occupation in Iraq. And now she has caved on offshore drilling. And so there is nothing that we can rely on her to stand firm for in the matters that are really important to not just progressives, but to those who believe in constitutional rule.
Peter, you should take a look when you get a chance. There's an editorial in yesterday's Financial Times, arguably the preeminent international newspaper in the world. And the editorial basically says that the forgeries, the recently discovered and exposed forgeries in Ron Susskind's book, you know, are in and of themselves, if they're true, grounds for impeachment, and that this is a Watergate moment, and that this has been there essentially for the last year in terms of the innuendo, but what's been absent is the credible sources, and now those have emerged. And Nancy Pelosi said yesterday, and I'm quoting, we only have 100 days left. It doesn't matter.
Well, but it's 161, just to be accurate.
That's not what she said. She said 100 days.
Well, maybe she's just counting weekdays.
It is going to be unforgivable for this administration to be left, to be allowed to escape, you know, the accountability mechanisms that the founding fathers put in place, to be allowed to go scot-free, let off the hook, and to do that is going to somehow irreparably, irredeemably, I think, destroy the soul of this country.
Yeah.
And I don't think Pelosi understands that. It was clear last night that she really has lost touch, I think, with her basic constitutional duties and obligations.
Yeah, and she's in a bubble where, you know, I believe that they've made this gross calculation that if they just, you know, ride this out, they're going to win big in November. They'll get 60 votes in the Senate and be able to actually pass legislation. And, you know, that's what she gives away. I haven't read her book, but I know her well enough and I know her history well enough that, you know, she is a power politician. That's what her daddy, the mayor of Baltimore, who also served in Congress, taught her. And so she's made this incredible calculation that our constitutional rights, that the American soldiers who've died in Iraq since she took power in January of 2007, and the gross waste of our taxpayer dollars in that folly, that all of that is acceptable downside to her goal of an enduring Democratic majority. And in that, she's not that different from Karl Rove. Some of her policies are different, but the projection of power is what she clearly relishes, and she felt impeachment might get in the way of that. I think that's a miscalculation, but that's what she thought.
Peter Collins, let me give you one scoop that no one else I've talked to has gotten. I worked on Cindy Sheehan's congressional campaign. Cindy's running against Nancy in the 18th District up north. Cindy's press person, Tiffany Burns, told me and showed me the proof. Nancy Pelosi's son is a real estate developer, and one of the things he got end of last year, beginning of this year, is the entitlement provisions from San Francisco. The city of San Francisco gave him development rights for a former military base area. He's got exclusive rights with Lennar. You know, he's with Lennar Corporation, which is the country's biggest home developer.
Mm-hmm.
He essentially purchased a plot of land out there. I believe the dollar sum was $1 for Lennar, and he's going to be developing a project. And my point here is this, that it's not just about power with Nancy. Nancy is an epitomization of a bought-off, corrupt congressional apparatus, which has become representative of we the corporations as opposed to we the people. And that reality, that objective reality, is personified in her son and her daughter, who she's positioning for a congressional career. The same thing is going on with Henry Waxman here in Los Angeles with his son. And what a lot of people throughout the United States don't appreciate is that there's a 94 to 96% incumbency rate in these congressional elections, and that they are all beholden to the corporations, real estate developers, defense contractors that finance their campaigns.
Peter, I thank you for calling back today, and let's stay in touch here, and we'll talk again soon. I've got to run to a break on late, and your cell phone battery's going to go down.
Okay.
So let's talk again soon, and again, I applaud you for speaking up for all of us and challenging the speaker in Los Angeles yesterday.
It was the right thing to do. Thanks.
All right. Peter Tottam, thank you very much. T-H-O-T-T-A-M. And there's a website named after him if you want more information. PeterTottam.com. We'll take a break and return here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and a new problem just coming in for the foothills of the Santa Cruz Mountains. Southbound 17 after the Cat's Restaurant. It's an injury accident where a solo vehicle overturned and hit the hillside. We have fuel leaking into the roadway there. CHP and paramedics on the way. Further south, getting into Santa Cruz, you will see the usual slow traffic. South 17 on to southbound 1. And a new injury crash just coming in. 17-mile drive at Sunridge Road. Vehicle and a bicyclist involved. Emergency crews on the way to check up there. Also, Dolan Road at Castro Boulevard, a big piece of metal reported in the lanes. This is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. Toyota owners, with the high cost of gas, it makes more sense than ever to keep your Toyota properly tuned to factory specs by trusting your Toyota to your genuine Toyota service center. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
Installing new transmitter, 50,000 cool ones. New computer with high-end sound card, $4,000. Replacing satellite dish blown off roof in storm, $2,500. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains, priceless. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
The birds and the airplane did fly.
We'll be right back.
the T-Birds are here. They're looking at the clock and saying, oh, Mr. Collins, it's time to wrap it up.
I've been watching you for days now, baby. I just love your sexy ways now, baby. You know my love will never stop now, baby. Just put your love in my box now, baby. Wrap it up.
You can share a podcast of any part of this program with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. And Frank is on the line from Marina. It's been ages. Frank, how are you?
It's been, yes, because I had to go back to work, so I can't call you like I used to.
Well, it's good to hear from you, my friend.
Same here, Peter B. I want to invite you, if you can come down here to Santa Cruz this Thursday night at the Veterans Memorial Hall, downtown Santa Cruz on Front Street. The Green Party of Monterey County, which I'm part of, we're sponsoring Cindy Sheehan. It's a fundraising event for her campaign, and she's going to give a little speech on the peace dividend and everything else.
Well, Frank, I'm happy to broadcast that and invite people to come, as I have explained, and it's a little awkward for me because I'm really angry at Nancy Pelosi, but I still maintain that Cindy Sheehan doesn't have a chance, and I applaud her for her stance and for her very strong opposition to the war. But my counsel is that progressives should be putting their time and effort into races where there's a chance of winning and where we can bring real progressives like Chelly Pingree, who was on the program earlier today, into the caucus there to push Pelosi to the left and to stand up and fight for us on the inside. We got too many corporate Democrats there. And I've also mentioned that if you knock off Pelosi, you get Steny Hoyer as speaker. And I don't consider that an upgrade.
Oh, it isn't. How are you going to, I mean, with all the letters, Peter B., emails, telephone calls, faxes, booing where she goes, code pink, teachers unions, nurses unions, picketing in front of her house up in San Francisco,
right.
She still doesn't get it. I mean, she has changed in the worst way. I mean, I in the 90s, when she was just Congresswoman Pelosi, I would have backed her for president of the United States.
Yeah.
But she's going down the wrong end, and
I don't disagree with you on that, Frank. I'm very disappointed.
She's going to be defeated, Peter B.
No, I know the numbers. I know that district.
No, I know she's entrenched, but you know people are getting a little upset. And I mean, she's not backing up the Constitution. Look, they all take an oath, every one of them,
right,
from the president on down, and they don't have.
Yeah, Trigger's here. I got to run, Frank. Thank you very much. I appreciate all your calls today. Everybody didn't get on the air.
Happy trip.
Call me earlier tomorrow in the Free Speech Zone. I'll be delighted to talk with you. My email's always available, peter@peterbcollins.com. Thanks to Katrina Rill and Nick Tanum for helping produce today's show.
Keep smiling until then.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Russia and Georgia have a tentative ceasefire agreement, but each side is wary of the other. This is Georgian President Mikhail Saakashvili.
We need legal details.
We need Security Council resolution, and we need more presence on the ground of international observers.
Vitaly Churkin, Russia's ambassador to the UN, was interviewed on the PBS NewsHour.
Now we need to make sure that the Georgian forces have totally left South Ossetia and are no longer in a position to launch assault on that region.
Churkin says the United States needs to rethink its relationship with the Georgian leadership. Charles Kupchan of the Council on Foreign Relations says the Bush administration is in a difficult position.
The U.S. is a country that needs to stand by a loyal ally. On the other hand, it cannot risk military engagement because the stakes would be too high of a confrontation with Russia.
I'm Dan Raviv in Washington. The U.S. is calling off a naval exercise that was supposed to involve both American and Russian warships in the Pacific late this week. A Pentagon official says there's no way in good conscience that joint maneuvers could go on during this crisis.
Combat takes a toll in many ways. Today, a report that many veterans of the current wars have problems with alcohol.
A first-of-its-kind study comparing the drinking habits of troops before and after they fight in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Individuals who deployed and reported combat exposures were at increased risk for newly reported alcohol behaviors.
Most at risk, members of the National Guard and Reserve, a real concern, Defense Department researcher Isabel Jacobson says, because of the nation's growing reliance on these forces. This study in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
Just as gasoline is coming down, we might soon see some moderation in food prices. The Agriculture Department reports that despite the Midwest floods, corn growers will produce the second largest crop in U.S. history, and the soybean crop is on track to be the fourth largest. Reduced demand has helped bring oil prices down. Today, crude settled at $113 a barrel. The Energy Department says the country's oil consumption is down by 800,000 barrels a day. The Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago has reached another big settlement in the clergy sex